on the bridge of the Enterprise.
Any response from the Lurians, Lieutenant?
Nothing since their original distress call, sir.
What about the Federation science team working there? Dr. Manway had a special transmitter.
There's nothing, sir. I'm scanning all frequencies.
They have to answer.
Captain.
Kirk goes over to Spock.
They will not answer. The long-range sensor sweep of this system reveals no sign of life.
But that can't be. The last census reported a total inhabitation of more than 4 billion people.
I register no life readings at all, sir.
Kirk leans against Spock's console, deeply shocked.
That's impossible. What could have happened?
We would have known in advance of any system-wide catastrophe. And in the event of an interplanetary war, there would be considerable radioactive residue. Our instruments show only normal background radiation.
Any other possibilities?
Unknown, sir. Sensor readings would have revealed the presence of any disease organisms. They do not. In addition, we received a routine report from this system only a week ago. Even the Cymbeline blood burn does not act that swiftly.
Captain, shields just snapped on. Something heading in at multi-warp speeds.
Spock looks at his scanners.
Evasive maneuvers, Mr. Sulu.
An extremely powerful bolt of energy, Captain.
Full power to the shields, Mr. Scott.
Give them all we got, sir.
All hands, red alert. Laser bank, stand by. Photon torpedoes, condition red. Condition red.
On the lower decks, the crew hurry to their stations. A bright white light appears in the forward view screen, growing rapidly larger.
It's going to hit.
The Enterprise rocks violently, and everyone is hurled across the bridge. They hang on desperately to chairs and consoles.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Star Trek, created by Gene Roddenberry, starring William Shatner. Also starring Leonard Nimoy as Mr. Spock and DeForest Kelly as Dr. McCoy. The Changeling, written by John Meredith Lucas, directed by Mark Daniels.
AG section, we're reading only 4.5.
Shields still holding, sir.
Temporarily, Captain. Our shields absorbed energy equivalent to 90 of our photon torpedoes.
90?
I may add, the energy used in repulsing this first attack reduced our shielding power 20%.
First attack, sir?
I think we can expect others, Lieutenant.
We can resist three more such attacks. The fourth will shatter our shields completely.
Mr. Spock, pinpoint the source. Mr. Sulu, evasive maneuvers.
Aye, sir. Lieutenant, contact Starfleet Command. Patch in my log, tell them what has happened. Tell them that the entire Malurian race seems to have been destroyed by an unknown agency, and that we are under attack by an unidentified force.
Helmsman, I said evasive maneuvers.
We're losing power, sir.
I'm having to divert the warp engine power into the shield, sir, if you want the protection.
Spock, speed of those bolts.
Approximately warp 15, Captain.
And we can't outrun them. Good, Scotty, we're doing the right thing.
The next bolt hits the ship.
Source, Spock.
Unknown, Captain. Nothing within sensor range.
The next bolt approaches.
Something now, Captain. Very small. Bearing 1, 2, 3 degrees. Marked 1-8. Range 90,000 kilometers.
That's our target, Mr. Sulu. Prepare photon torpedoes.
Shield still holding, sir. But the drain on the engines is reaching the critical point. Ah, we just lost warp maneuvering power. Switching to impulse.
Photon torpedoes on, sir. Has the target changed location, Mr. Spock?
No, sir. Holding steady.
Ready, photon torpedo number 2, Mr. Sulu.
Ready, sir.
Fire.
Torpedo away.
the bridge floods with light.
Direct hit.
No effect. Target absorbed full energy of our torpedo.
Absorbed it? There must be damage to your instrument, Spock.
Spock checks the dials and switches at his station.
They're in good working order, Captain.
But what could have absorbed that much energy and survived? Lieutenant, try to make contact.
Aye, sir.
Sir, they fired another.
The bolt flies towards the ship.
Can we take it, Mr. Scott?
That's problematical, sir.
Captain, shields are down. We cannot survive another hit.
Anything, Lieutenant?
Trying, sir.
Translator computer. All hailing frequencies open.
Aye, sir. All hailing frequencies open.
To unidentified vessel, this is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise. We are on a peaceful mission. We mean no harm to you or any life forms. Please communicate with us.
Spock fits an earpiece into his ear.
Any further readings, Mr. Spock?
Computing now, Captain. Weight 500 kilograms. Shape roughly cylindrical. Length, fraction over 1 meter.
500 kilos and only 1 meter long?
What kind of intelligent creatures can exist in a thing that small?
Intelligence does not necessarily require bulk, Mr. Scott.
Captain, we're getting a signal from the spacecraft.
Put it on audio, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir. It's impossible to get it any clearer, sir.
Analysis sector, have them study and decode it.
Analysis sector. Channel 1, main computer, decode.
Captain, this message is a sort of binary. Extremely sophisticated, compressed, carrying several channels at once.
Can you decode it?
No clue as yet, Captain. Moment. Transmission speed has stepped down. Much slower. Seems to be a single binary.
It's mathematical. Yes, one symbol. The symbol repeat. Sir, that isn't in the Starfleet code. It's an old-style interplanetary code.
Fascinating.
Repeat what? A message I sent?
It would seem so, Captain.
Kirk goes over to his chair and opens a channel.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise. We are on a peaceful mission in this part of the galaxy. We have no hostile intentions. We request identity.
It's another signal now, sir.
It's a formula, Captain. They're sending us a mathematical message and requesting language equivalents. They're trying to communicate.
Tie in the ship's translator to the communication channel. Let them take it at their own speed.
Aye, Captain.
The computer screen behind Spock suddenly flashes.
Cut power, Lieutenant!
Spock checks some switches and controls.
Overloaded and burned out.
I guess they can take it faster than we can give it.
Captain, the message is coming in now.
USS Enterprise, this is Nomad. My mission is non-hostile.
Apparently they got what they needed before the computers burned out.
Nomad?
Require communication. Can you leave your ship?
Kirk signals to Uhura to open the channel.
It is impossible to come aboard your ship because of the size differential.
Non sequitur, your facts are uncoordinated.
We are prepared to beam you aboard our ship.
That will be satisfactory.
Do you require any special conditions, any particular atmosphere or environment?
Negative. I will come aboard.
Good. Hold your position. We're locked onto your coordinates. We'll beam you aboard.
Captain, you're not really going to bring that thing in here.
Do we have any choice, Scotty? Besides, once it's aboard, it won't be taking any more shots at us. Lieutenant, get a repair crew on that computer. Get Dr. McCoy down to the transporter room. Spock, you come with me. Scotty, you too.
Dr. McCoy to the transporter room. Maintenance crew C5.
I've got the coordinates, Jim. It's locked in.
Energized.
Energizing.
As small satellite-like object materializes above one of the pads, floating in mid-air. It has a squarish metallic main body, surmounted by two cylindrical and conical sections that look almost like a head and hat. In the transporter room, Spock scans the object.
Sensor readings, Mr. Spock?
Negative, Captain. It has a protective screen. I cannot get through.
What do we do now? Go up and knock?
Relate your point of origin.
Panels of colored light flash in time with its voice.
We are from the United Federation of Planets.
Insufficient response. All things have a point of origin. I will scan your star charts.
Well, if we show it a close-up view of our system, if it has no point of reference, it won't know any more than it does now.
Reasonable, of course.
If you care to leave your ship, we'll provide the necessary life support systems.
Non sequitur. Your facts are uncoordinated.
Jim, I don't think anybody's in there.
I contain no parasitical beings. I am Nomad.
In my opinion, that's a machine.
Indeed. It is reacting much like a highly sophisticated computer.
I am Nomad. What is opinion?
An opinion is a belief, a view, a judgment.
Insufficient response.
What's your source of power?
It has changed since the point of origin. There was much taken from the other. I am perpetual now. I am Nomad.
Isn't there a probe called Nomad launched in the early 2000s?
Yes. It was reported destroyed. There were no more in the series. But if this is that probe...
I will scan your star charts.
Kirk glances at Spock.
I will bring them.
I have the capability of movement within your ship.
Nomad floats out of the transporter chamber. Bemused, Kirk indicates the door.
This way.
Scotty, McCoy, and Spock watch as Nomad floats towards the door and hovers next to Kirk. It's about the size of the captain's head and torso. He sizes it up warily.
Scotty, get our warp power up to full capacity.
Aye, sir.
Spock, Bones, come with us.
It follows Kirk out of the transporter room. McCoy pulls a sour face and follows with Spock. Lieutenant Singh, in the auxiliary control room, gapes as the object floats in behind the captain.
Chart 14A, sir.
14A. Nomad, can you scan that?
Yes.
This is our point of origin. The star we know as Sol.
You are from the third planet?
Yes.
A planet with one large natural satellite?
Yes.
The planet is called Earth?
Yes.
You are the creator, the Kirk. This sterilization procedure against your ship was unnecessary.
What sterilization procedure?
You are the Kirk, the creator. You programmed my function.
Well, I'm not the Kirk. Tell me what your function is.
This is one of your units, creator?
Yes, he is.
It functions irrationally.
Sometimes. But tell him your function nevertheless.
My function is to probe for biological infestations, to destroy that which is not perfect. I am Nomad.
Biological infestation.
He turns to Spock.
There was never any probe sent out for that.
I believe the history computer can answer that question. I'll have the readout in a moment.
Spock looks into the computer's viewer.
Did you destroy the Malurian system?
Not the system, Creator Kirk. Only the unstable biological infestation. It is my function.
Unstable infestation? The population of four planets? What kind of function?
Doctor. Why do you call me the Creator?
Is the usage incorrect?
Well, I...
The usage is correct. Creator was simply testing your memory banks.
There was much damage in the accident.
Mr. Singh. Come here, Holden. This unit will see to your needs.
Sir?
I'll be back in a moment. Gentlemen, come with me.
McCoy and Spock follow Kirk down the corridor.
You're out of something, Spock. What is it?
I have correlated all the available information on the Nomad probe, and I am convinced that this object is indeed that probe.
It's ridiculous. Earth science couldn't begin to build anything with those capabilities that long ago.
True.
Nomad was destroyed.
Presumed destroyed by a meteor collision. I submit that it was badly damaged and somehow managed to repair itself.
I heard some lectures at the Academy on the Nomad probe. Its mission was essentially peaceful.
In the auxiliary control room, Singh, in his engineer's red overalls, comes up to Nomad and studies it. A light shines out from the top of the probe.
Did I disturb you? Did you wish anything?
Nomad doesn't respond. Singh turns away.
Bridge to auxiliary control room. Check in, please.
Lieutenant Singh here.
All systems are normal, except warp power indicators.
Mr. Scott's engineers are working on them now. Report to him when your indicators are registering properly. Anything else?
One moment, Lieutenant.
Holding.
On the bridge, Uhura jots something down on her electronic report pad. An antenna extends from Nomad's head. Singh has his back turned studying a panel and doesn't see Nomad rise from the control desk. It floats to the door and out into the corridor. In a briefing room...
This is the creator of Nomad. Perhaps the most brilliant, though erratic, scientist of his time. His dream was to build a perfect thinking machine, capable of independent logic. You recall his name?
Of course, Jackson Roykirk.
Jackson Roykirk, Captain James Kirk.
Yes. Similar. Captain, I believe that Nomad thinks you are Roykirk. That may well be why the attack was broken off. It responded to your name as well as its damaged memory banks permitted.
What do we have on Nomad itself, Spock?
Spock brings up a diagram.
Well, that's not the same.
Essentially, it is, Doctor. I believe that more happened to it than just damage in the meteor collision. It mentioned the other. The unanswered question is, the other what? Nomad was a thinking machine, the best that could be engineered. It was a prototype.
Its purpose was certainly altered. Its directive to seek out and destroy biological infestations could not have been programmed into it.
As I recall, it wasn't. It was supposed to be the first interstellar probe to seek out new life forms.
Precisely, Doctor. And somehow that programming has been changed. It would seem that Nomad is now seeking out perfect life forms, perfection being measured by its own relentless logic.
Kirk turns to Spock.
What you say is true. And we've taken aboard our vessel a device which sooner or later must destroy us.
He glances at McCoy and reaches for the intercom.
Security.
Lieutenant Carlyle here.
This is the captain. The mechanism we brought aboard is in the auxiliary control room. Have a security team meet me there in 5 minutes.
Aye, sir.
Acknowledge, Captain. Mr. Singh reports that Nomad is no longer in the auxiliary control room.
Security, cancel that order. Implement a full search for the mechanism. All decks, report to me here.
On the bridge, the lift doors open, and Nomad floats out onto the upper gallery. Scotty, sitting at engineering, watches it warily and leans close to his intercom.
Bridge to Captain.
Captain here.
That mechanical beastie is up here.
On my way, Scotty.
Nomad retracts its antenna, floats over the gallery rail past a flabbergasted Sulu at the con, and stops in front of Uhura. She looks up in alarm.
There's where my love.
The beautiful lieutenant gazes at the probe uncertainly. Scotty watches.
What is the meaning? What form of communication?
I don't know what it... Oh, my singing. I was singing.
For what purpose is singing?
I don't know. I like to sing. I felt like music.
What is music?
A beam of light from the probe envelops her head.
Think about music.
Lieutenant, keep away from that,
Scotty!
A ray shoots out from the machine, and Scotty is flung back over the gallery rail.
Bones!
Sulu helps Uhura, who looks dazed. McCoy rushes over to where Scotty lies and feels for a pulse in his neck. He looks up gravely.
He's dead, Jim.
Quaking with rage, Kirk glares at the probe.
Why did you kill him?
The unit touched my screens.
That unit was my chief engineer.
He glances at Uhura.
Lieutenant, are you all right?
Uhura stares ahead with vacant eyes as if in a trance.
Sickbay. What'd you do to her?
That unit is defective. Its thinking is chaotic. Absorbing it unsettled me.
That unit is a woman.
A mass of conflicting impulses.
Kirk turns.
Get Scott down below.
Two crewmen carry Scotty's body off the bridge.
Will the Creator effect repairs on the unit, Scott?
He's dead.
Insufficient response.
His biological functions have ceased.
Does the Creator wish me to repair the unit?
Kirk looks up, then glances over at McCoy.
There's nothing I can do, Jim. If there's a chance, it'll have to be soon.
Kirk looks back at the impassive machine floating in front of him.
All right, Nomad. Repair the unit.
I require tapes on the structure.
Well, I'll need tapes on general anatomy, the central nervous system, and then one on the physiological structure of the brain. And we'd better give it all the neurological studies we have, as well as tracings of Scotty's hyperencephalogram.
Spock goes over to his station and slots a yellow data file into the computer.
Nomad, I have arranged the tapes for flash feed at the top speed of the computer. Please do not draw the information faster than the machine's capacity.
The machine rises over the gallery rail and floats a few inches from Spock and the computer. It extends an antenna.
Proceed.
Spock runs the file. Nomad withdraws its antenna.
Creator, the unit Scott is a primitive structure. Insufficient safeguards built in. Breakdown can occur from many causes. Self-maintenance systems of low reliability.
It serves me as it is, Nomad. Repair it.
Where is the unit Scott now?
The body is in sick bay.
Show me sick bay.
Dr. McCoy will show you.
McCoy looks suspiciously over his shoulder as he leads the probe towards the lift. Sulu, coming back from taking Uhura to sickbay, moves hurriedly out of its way.
Security. I want a 24-hour, two-man armed surveillance on Nomad. Pick him up in sickbay.
Nurse Chapel runs a scanner over Scotty lying on the diagnostic table. Nomad hovers next to him. McCoy looks at the biomonitor. It shows no signs of life. Kirk and Spock arrive.
No reaction, Doctor.
I could have told you that without looking.
Everyone watches in amazement as the pulse monitor on the bioscreen flashes and all the indicator needles start to rise.
What is a lot of you staring at me for?
It's unbelievable.
Fascinating.
How did I get here? How did I...
It's all right.
What? That thing did something to Lieutenant
Scotty, she's being taken care of. It's all right.
Just take it easy and lie down, Scotty. We just want to check you out.
The unit, Scott, is repaired. It will function correctly if your information to me was correct.
I'd like to check it out, if you don't mind. A man is not just a biological unit that you can patch together.
What did it do to me?
Dr. McCoy will explain it to you.
Spock gives McCoy a dry look.
Well, doctor?
Nurse, I want him prepared for a full physical examination.
Yes, sir.
Nomad, come here.
The probe floats towards the door of the sickbay ward, where Uhura lies in a bed, staring vacantly.
Repair that unit.
Not possible.
You restored Scott. He had much more extensive damage.
The unit Scott required simple structural repair. The knowledge banks of this unit have been wiped clean.
Captain, if that is correct, if there has been no brain damage, but only knowledge erased, she could be re-educated.
Bones?
Yes. I'll get on it right away. Oh. And in spite of the way you repaired Scotty, you metal ticking...
Does the Creator wish Nomad to wait elsewhere?
Yes. Nomad, you will go with these units. They will take you to a waiting area. Take it to the top security cell on the brig.
Nomad goes off with the two guards.
Doctor, I interrupted you because Nomad would not have understood your anger. It has great technical skill, but its reaction to emotion is unpredictable. It almost qualifies as a life form.
That's a laugh.
McCoy goes.
Study of it would be of great use, Captain.
It's a killer, Spock. I intend to render it harmless. Get down to the brig with your equipment, run a full analysis on the mechanism. I want to know what makes that thing tick.
Yes, sir.
In a cell in the brig, Spock sits at a computer with his arms folded, frowning, while the probe hovers in front of him.
What's the problem?
An almost human stubbornness, Captain. I have been unable to convince Nomad to lower his screens for analysis. Without his cooperation, I can do nothing.
Nomad, you will allow Mr. Spock to probe your memory banks and structure.
Mr. Spock is also one of your biological units, Creator.
Yes.
This unit is different. It is well ordered.
Follow your instructions, Nomad.
My screens are down.
Thank you.
You may proceed.
See the dog. See the dog.
I'll sound it out.
Run.
That's it, Uhura. That's very good. Now, try the next one.
The dog has a... The dog... Sikumbuka.
Not Swahili, Uhura. In English, the dog has a ball. See? B-A-U. Ball. Now, you go ahead.
Hey, Waunakufe, the dog has a ball.
That's right, Uhura.
McCoy comes in.
Oh, here, you try another one. I'll be right back.
All right, Christine.
Christine goes over to McCoy. Uhura puts a file in the reading screen.
How's she doing?
Well, she's on the first grade reader. She's learning. Seems to have an aptitude for mathematics. Do you think we can re-educate her, Doctor?
Well, she checks out with no brain damage. We've got all the educational tapes in our library. Now it's up to us.
The ball is... Bluey.
She looks up at McCoy and Nurse Chapel.
Bluey?
In the brig, Spock finishes his analysis of the probe.
It is not sufficient, Captain. I get certain references to the accident, the other, but nothing clear. There are areas I simply cannot scan.
You've got to know about it, Spock. What makes it operate? It's compulsion for perfection.
Captain, I suggest the Vulcan mind probe.
Get into direct mental contact with that thing?
It seems the only way.
You saw what it did to Uhura.
There is a risk, but I have formed a partial hypothesis. I must check it out.
Kirk, perching on the edge of the computer desk, nods and stands up.
Nomad, the unit Spock will touch you. It is not an attack. It is a form of communication. You will permit it. I will permit it, Creator.
Kirk moves away, and Spock gets up and approaches Nomad. He places his hands together, fingertip to fingertip, then puts one hand on the probe's main body and another on its head-like conical cylinder. Spock frowns.
I am Nomad. I am performing my function. Deep emptiness. It approaches. Collision. Damage. Blackness.
Kirk watches and listens.
I am the other. I am Tan Ru. Tan Ru. Nomad. Tan Ru. Error. Flaw. Imperfection. Must sterilize.
Spock shifts his hands, his face pressed close to the probe's head.
Rebirth. We are complete. Much power. Ganta Nu Ika Tan Ru. The Creator instructs, search out, identify, sterilize imperfections. We are Nomad. We are Nomad. We are complete. We are instructed. Our purpose is clear. Sterilize imperfections. Sterilize imperfections. Nomad, sterilize. Sterilize. Nomad, sterilize.
Spock!
Nomad,
Spock!
Sterilize.
Nomad!
Nomad,
you're in contact with the unit Spock.
Nomad,
stop!
Sterilize.
Stop!
Acknowledged.
Spock collapses limply into Kirk's arms. Kirk rushes him out of the cell. The guards activate the force field at the cell door. Kirk leans Spock against a wall in the corridor.
Spock.
Amazing.
Spock!
Fascinating, Captain. The knowledge. The depth.
What does it mean? We are Nomad.
It was damaged in deep space. And undoubtedly the meteor collision, its memory banks were destroyed, or most of them. It wandered without purpose, and then it met the other. The other was an alien probe of great power. Somehow they merged, repaired each other, became one.
Then it isn't Nomad.
Not the Nomad we launched from Earth. It took from the other a new directive to replace its own. The other was originally programmed to secure and sterilize soil samples from other planets. Probably as a prelude to colonization.
Kirk strokes his chin thoughtfully.
Changeling.
I beg your pardon?
An ancient Earth legend, Mr. Spock. Changeling was a fairy child that was left in place for a human baby. The changeling assumed the identity of the human child. So, it is to sterilize. And for sterilize, read, kill.
And it has the power
And the sophistication to do it.
Yes, it's powerful, sophisticated, but it's not infallible. It's space happy. It thinks I'm its mother.
And that is the only thing that has saved us until now.
Yes.
He hurries away with Spock. In the brig, the Nomad probe floats towards the force field door and passes through it as if it wasn't there. The two guards outside draw their phasers and fire at it. The probe fires back and the guards vaporize. Nomad comes into engineering. Scotty and his assistant look up in alarm as it floats past the control desk.
Notify the captain.
What are you doing here?
Watch your panels, everyone. Watch that polymass. Roger, help with the interfactor.
Nomad settles in front of a large panel dotted with lights.
Leave that alone.
This primitive matter-antimatter propulsion system is the main drive.
Aye.
Inefficiency exists in the antimatter input valve. I will effect repair.
The lights on the panel start to wink and flash. Scotty looks on in disbelief.
How are you doing that?
The energy release controls are also most inefficient. I shall effect repair.
Scotty looks over his shoulder at the blinking lights chasing each other across the screen.
Formation, Scott, and increasing.
Throw your dampers.
Warp 9.
Cut your circuits, all of them.
Warp 10, Mr. Scott.
Impossible. It can't go that fast.
You just won't stop, Mr. Scott. Warp 11.
Nomad, stop what you're doing. Scotty.
Scotty moves away from the probe.
Is there a problem, Creator? I have increased engine efficiency 57%.
You will destroy my ship. Its structure cannot stand the stress of that much power. Turn off your repair operation.
Acknowledged. It is reversed as ordered, Creator.
Scott, give Sulu warp 2 and keep her there. Aye, sir.
Captain? I've examined the brig. The force field door on the security cell is damaged, and the guards have vanished. I must assume they are dead.
You killed two of my...
Creator! Your biological units are inefficient.
Nomad, it's about time I told you who and what you are. I'm a biological unit and I created you.
Spock raises a dubious eyebrow.
Non sequitur, biological units are inherently inferior. This is an inconsistency.
Nomad, there are two men waiting outside. You will not harm them. They will escort you back to the waiting area. You will stay there. You will do nothing.
I am programmed to investigate.
I have given you new programming, and you will implement it.
There is much to be considered before I return to launch point. I must reevaluate.
Kirk bites his lip anxiously as the Nomad probe floats towards the doors of the engineering department. They open to reveal two security guards. The guards turn and escort the probe back down the corridor towards the brig.
Reevaluate?
I suspect it is about to reevaluate its creator. Captain, it may have been unwise to admit to Nomad that you are a biological unit. In Nomad's eyes, you must now undoubtedly appear imperfect.
It was a foolish mistake.
Even worse, Nomad just now made a reference to its launch point, Earth.
Spock, do you think it's possible that it got a fix on Earth when it tapped the computers earlier?
I do not believe there is much beyond Nomad's capabilities.
And we've shown it the way home. And when it gets there...
It will find the Earth infested with imperfect biological units.
And it will carry out its prime directive. Sterilize. Captain's log, stardate 3541.9. The presence of Nomad aboard my ship has become nightmarish. Now it apparently means to return to Earth. Once there, it would automatically destroy all life.
The probe takes a wrong turning.
Hey, Nomad, stop! Nomad, this way.
They fire their phasers. Nomad vaporizes the two security guards, then carries on along the curving corridor. A crewman climbs down a silver metal access tube from an upper deck and steps into the corridor. The Nomad probe moves into the tube and rises up it, heading towards sickbay.
Captain Kirk to sickbay. Emergency.
The sickbay doors don't open.
Manual controls.
No response.
Nomad. Nomad. Stop. Nomad, stop! Nomad.
Nurse Chapel is lying in McCoy's arms.
She all right?
I think so. Looks like some kind of shock.
What happened?
Nomad examined the personnel files and the medical history. She tried to stop him.
Whose history?
Yours.
Since it specifically examined your history, I suggest it has completed its reevaluation.
And found that its creator is as imperfect as all the other biological units.
Bridge to captain.
Kirk here.
Life support systems are out all over the ship. Manual override has been blocked. Source, engineering.
Nomad.
Undoubtedly.
Jim, with all the systems out, we'll only have enough air and heat for...
Get Scotty, some anti-gravs, and meet me in engineering.
Kirk runs into engineering. The two crewmen at the controls are slumped over their desk and on the floor. Kirk runs up to Nomad.
Nomad, stop what you're doing and effect repairs on the life support systems.
Kirk starts to climb a ladder to the upper level of the engineering deck.
Stop!
The captain turns and looks down at the machine.
You're programmed to obey the orders of your creator.
I am programmed to destroy those life forms which are imperfect. These alterations will do so without destroying the vessel which surrounds them. It too is imperfect, but can be adjusted.
Kirk goes over and checks the pulse of the engineer slumped over his desk. He comes back to the probe.
Nomad! I admit that biological units are imperfect. But a biological unit created you.
I am perfect. I am Nomad.
No, you're not Nomad. You're an alien machine. Your programming tapes have been altered.
You are in error. You are a biological unit. You are imperfect.
Kirk paces the engineering deck.
But I am your creator.
You are the creator.
I created you?
You are the creator.
But I admit I am imperfect. How could I have created such a perfect thing as you?
Answer unknown. I shall analyze.
Scotty and Spock come in with two anti-gravity clamps. Kirk holds up his hand.
Analysis complete. Insufficient data to resolve problem. But my programming is whole. My purpose remains. I am Nomad. I am perfect. That which is imperfect must be sterilized.
Then you will continue to destroy that which thinks and lives and is imperfect.
I shall continue. I shall return to launch point Earth. I shall sterilize.
You must sterilize in case of error.
Error is inconsistent with my prime function. Sterilization is correction.
Everything that is in error must be sterilized.
There are no exceptions.
Kirk walks slowly around the probe.
Nomad, I made an error in creating you.
The creation of perfection is no error.
I did not create perfection, I created error.
Your data is faulty. I am Nomad. I am perfect.
I am the Kirk, the creator.
You are the creator.
You are wrong! Jackson Roy Kirk, your creator, is dead. You have mistaken me for him. You are in error. You did not discover your mistake. You have made two errors. You are flawed and imperfect. And you have not corrected by sterilization. You have made three errors.
Error, error, error. Examine
You are flawed and imperfect. Execute your prime function.
I shall analyze error. Analyze error.
Now, get those antigravs on it.
Examine.
Error. Error.
We've got to get rid of it while it's trying to think.
Logic was impeccable, Captain. We are in grave danger.
Scotty,
analyze error. Error.
Scotty, set control for deep space. 210 Mark 1.
Faulty.
Ready, sir?
Faulty.
Nomad, you are imperfect.
Error. Error.
Exercise your prime function.
Faulty. Faulty.
The Nomad probe dematerializes. Spock and Kirk hurry over to a view screen. There's a huge explosion in deep space. Kirk looks at Spock and Scotty and sighs with relief. Later, back on the bridge of the Enterprise.
My congratulations, Captain. A dazzling display of logic.
You didn't think I had it in me, did you, Spock?
No, sir.
Kirk looks crestfallen. McCoy steps out of the lift.
Thought you might like to know that Lieutenant Uhura is back to college level. We should have her back on the job within a week.
Good, Bones, good. The Mark One.
What?
The destruction of Nomad was a great waste, Captain. It was a remarkable instrument.
Which might well have destroyed more billions of lives. It's well gone. Besides, what are you feeling so badly about? It's not easy to lose a bright and promising son.
Sir?
Well, it thought I was its mother, didn't it? You think I'm completely without feelings, Mr. Spock? You saw what it did for Scotty. What a doctor it would have made. My son, the doctor. That gets you right there, doesn't it?
McCoy glances at Spock, who raises a skeptical Vulcan eyebrow. This audio description was written and produced at IMS for the Sci-Fi Channel.